Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
who charted? It's time for episode 632 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached Checkpoint Super Bowl on the road to summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me, as always, is Brett Morris, a.k.a. Starred. What's up, Starred?
What's up, man? Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Are you excited for the Super Bowl, or how do you?
I am,
you
but
gearing up?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to wait midweek to kind of turn my attention to Super Bowl because I am worn out from the Grammys. Oh my God!
Yeah,
quite a few Grammy things to tell you about.
Definitely.
And then I want to get that out of my system, then we'll move on. It's event season. I mean, they just come one after the other this time of year.
Well, I was thinking today, because the Grammys just happened, that maybe our music chart could be a countdown of some of the top awards.
Wow. Great idea. That's great.
Then you can
Even Amoeba Music had a vinyl display of the Grammy winners.
I noticed on Twitter that I was like, oh, he must have just went to Amoeba because the takes were flying.
Yeah, I was trying to vent about that event as well. Yeah, Amoeba is an overwhelming place. It's like, you know.
I thought we were going to lose it.
What's that?
I thought we were going to lose it for a bit.
Oh, yeah, maybe we were.
They scared us for a while.
They did.
They scared us. And now yes, they just have that place on Hollywood.
Right on. Hey, let's meet our guest.
Sorry, sorry to talk.
No, that's okay. Here she comes now. You know her from Who Charted 503. She's back on the charts. She's back to tell us about what she's been up to. Please welcome Beth Stelling.
Hello. I was already here.
Woo!
I was here the whole time.
And I left out all your credits. She's from Girl Daddy on HBO Max, I Love You America, Rick and Morty, Crashing, Strange Planet, The Last OG.
That's so many, Howard. You could
Brother from
just
Falls.
Pick one or two, really.
Now, I think it's impressive, a litany like that. I think it goes over well with the listeners. Hey, Beth, did you see any of the Grammys?
I didn't. I'm so sorry.
I think I'm the only one who saw it.
It's so weird. Like, I for some reason, no one has to tell me that they're on, but I completely missed them. It's like there was no fanfare about them being on.
Yeah, there wasn't much fanfare. My mom is a pianist.
Right.
And she loves music. So she was watching. She kind of gave me.
She got robbed by John Legend.
Absolutely. It was one of the biggest Ohio rivalries in history.
Oh, hell yeah.
And nobody's talking about it.
Right on.
Yeah, I've been reading about it, though, some of the fallout. And so I feel like I'm a little bit half informed on it.
Okay.
And,
it is amazing what our phones do to us, you know, even if you're not trying to soak it up. Like, because I don't even consider myself extremely online. And yet here I am knowing that what's his name? I almost said Howard. Sorry. Styles.
Howard Harry Styles
said this doesn't happen to people like me. And I'm still haven't investigated that further. I'm very confused as to what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Was he talking about like dudes that wear sequins?
I think he's talking about dudes used to work at a bakery in some small town in England. Like, okay. He shouldn't be the biggest superstar in the world.
But I get that, except that he was in a boy band that was, you know, world famous.
Right.
So no one's thinking about the bakery. They're going back to whatever.
But I will say there's four other guys in the band that we haven't heard from in a long time. So maybe he's just feeling lucky, like out of five people.
Yeah.
Like, that's true.
Also, superstar? I think it was like a very tone deaf thing to say.
It was.
But also, like, if you are you and you're on that stage and like you out of your own life, it is just extremely unlikely for any single person to be up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like,
true.
You kind of get where he's coming from. I don't think he meant anything.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson stuff.
Didn't mean it evilly, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Hopefully.
But I guess that is something that gets to people. I mean, I know that this is what gets to people is when a white man doesn't step out of himself just once, for 1 second. Like, it's a simple mistake. It wasn't evil. We definitely should not be dragging him over the coals for it. However,
right.
I mean, when you're in the world and you don't really have to step outside of yourself ever because you're just kind of cruising.
Yeah, he seems privileged to the average like Joe.
Yeah.
Also, so, he was in the middle of being heckled. Did you see that?
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. There was a big crowd there heckling him.
At the Grammys or outside?
At the Grammys. There's TikTok videos where you see more, like you hear the crowd.
Ah.
And they're angry. There's a big fervor online.
Oh, because it didn't go to Lizzo.
No, because of Beyonce.
Beyonce stans
who are saying, Beyonce deserved it. But they're yelling that at him.
Right.
Wow, he's accepting an award, which is pretty shitty. Well,
that is shitty, but those have to be seat fillers, right, Beth? I mean, like, who in the Grammys that voted is actually going to yell and stuff?
Yeah. It wasn't interesting, too, that Trevor Noah didn't want to announce it? Like, there was that aspect of it.
Ah, yeah.
He handed it over to the white lady to read it.
T-Swift was the only one standing. There's pictures of
that happens a lot,
everyone sitting.
Way. She stands for every song. I think she's like,
okay.
Feels like she's got to look like she's rooting for people. No, but it just happens a lot of times.
Well, yeah, but it's just funny because she was, I think it was also like solidarity because she was the one who,
got
it was the same issue.
Also beat Beyonce.
With Beyonce, where Kanye was like, Beyonce deserved that, you know, and she had to stand there. So,
it's all pretty interesting and odd.
It is. It's very odd. And they had it set up like a prom. They're sitting at their little tables.
Also, the context of just how kind of worthless the Grammys are. Like, they're not even. It's not even the Oscars. You know, I don't think it's the equivalent.
It's a television show to help promote record sales where they take the people that have already sold the most records and they face them off against each other in a dumb little vote.
And Harry even said in his speech, you know, I don't think any of us actually even think about Grammys when we're recording the albums. But, you know, this is
we don't make those decisions.
I thought the only thing he said was this doesn't happen to guys like
me. Oh, no. He was very nice up there.
He actually made the albums with the guys he's friends with, too. I mean, it wasn't just like Simon Cowell wrote, you know, got somebody to write songs from him. It was more organic.
He seems like a good guy. I think we take these things into consideration, obviously. He doesn't deserve to be totally ripped apart. And also, you know, he didn't rig the vote. Perhaps his label paid them off. Who freaking knows? Like, think about great comics trying to get any sort of nod in the realm of Emmys that aren't famous. The company, the productions, they're all putting money into your promo and into getting you there. And if you don't have that buzz or the fame, they're not wasting a single cent on you winning.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, it's like there's been, you know, a million albums released in a year and it comes down to five that everybody already knows about that have been on commercial radio and everything else forever.
I think this is the root of it would just be this is from my perspective. And so obviously it's my opinion, but the root of the problem just seems to be maybe not exploring an alternate perspective. Like it was a small snafu. Yeah. It's the same reason sometimes like, you know, I guess it's at the root of why a lot of dude comics or white male comics are like, well, I'm going to get canceled. I'm going to get in trouble. It's like, but if you just stepped out of your, just looked at it, if you put the joke in the middle of the table and walked around the table once, instead of going first thing that comes out of your mouth, like it's our job to, in my opinion,
to not say the first thing you think of. It's your job as a comedian to say, oh, am I going to say what anybody else in this room would say, or I'm going to say what a professional comedian would say, which is not the first thought.
No, it's not. It's not the knee-jerk reaction from someone who's like tired from work.
Take one little walk around it before.
Yeah. Well, hey, I had no idea there was even a controversy. I didn't hear about this at all. It sounds like it's just knee-jerk from some dumb seat fillers. But there was plenty else going on there, a lot of magical stuff. So why don't we listen to the history of recorded music, and then we'll get into the Grammy noms.
Here we go.
Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes.
Grammys.
All right. All right.
You missed the Grammys. You missed the Grammys rhyme in there.
What was the Grammys rhyme?
That was awesome.
I just say, like, Grammys would have rhymed.
With what?
With anything in the song. LPs, MP3s.
Oh, that what's stream. Next? Grammys?
Yeah.
Gotcha. They already have.
With
thank
what?
You.
All right. Well, there's a lot of awards we could focus on, but I'm just taking some of the like top five random.
Oh, this is a curated chart by you.
Well, you could say, I mean, it's curated by the Grammys, but I'm not going into
and
like best jazz album.
Do we know? Were all
I guess it's Grammy members.
Trevor Noah voters?
Behind him?
Remember when he made the older white lady read the best album?
Oh, no, those were fans. That actually was a stupid idea that actually worked pretty good. They had fans sit around like it was a focus group, and they each had to sit around and make the case like, here's why I think Lizzo should be, you know, the thing. And then they would have, you know, somebody from a demographic that would listen to Brandi Carlile. And then she sits there and goes, this album helped me this year. But those were actually the fans. They brought the fans up to give
cool,
the, it was a dumb gesture, but it was actually more interesting to hear like why these albums meant something to anybody, you know? So
that is cool. I like Brandi Carlile.
But that is a good question about who votes for this stuff. I guess it's record executives and producers and that type of thing.
Yeah. The taste of the Grammy voters is just so conservative, and it's always been that way. And every year people are shocked about who wins.
Like Bonnie Raitt
but it's
won
always,
this year.
Yeah. So coming in at number five, Song of the Year, Bonnie Raitt. Just like that.
It was insane. This was
please,
like, you know,
are we
when
listen?
Jethro Tull beat Metallica. This was out of control. She was so shocked.
Took a while before it knocked, like all it had was time.
That sounds like 2022 to me.
Excuse me, ma'am, maybe you can help. The directions weren't so clear.
Quintessential 2022 sound right there.
I'm looking for Olivia Zan.
A lot of these awards, I feel like sometimes are just, they just decide to treat them as Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Yeah, look, I've never heard that song.
Never.
It's not terrible,
nobody
I'm
knows
sure,
about
but it.
It
doesn't seem like it's anything special.
It's not it's even not. Let's Give Them Something to Talk About.
Let's give them something to talk about.
They give him nothing to talk about.
Bonnie Raitt. Thing,
I mean, I don't know why they didn't. She didn't get yelled at more than Harry Styles because
I
mean, this really was the big surprise of the entire ceremony.
Yeah, and nobody wants to yell at Bonnie Raitt.
Also, like that. I mean,
white women are evil too.
There you go.
Geeter.
Even with streaks in their hair.
Yeah, geeter.
Well, some of the other nominees were Lizzo, About Damn Time, Jay-Z, God Did, which I want to talk about later.
I would love
that was huge.
Thing.
That was a huge moment, too.
That's the DJ Khaled one. Adele, Easy on Me. That was huge. Beyonce, Break My Soul.
All those didn't win, Brett?
Steve Lacy. These are the ones that didn't win the category.
Bad Habit should have won.
Bad Habit probably should have, right? It was huge.
It was
and
huge.
It was a new
sound. Good and new and unique.
Yeah,
and
it sounds like 2022. When you want
like
to signify 2022 in a soundtrack, you'll put that song on there.
Yep.
Not great.
Yeah.
But didn't Lizzo win with About Damn Time? I thought I saw
it was another category. I bet we'll wind up getting to it. Okay. But this one was a shocker. This one was like classic what they say about the Grammys all the time is how they're old and they get it wrong. Right. And they're, you know, this was, it was funny classic because the whole rest of the show was a lot more hip than usual.
Yeah.
So for that to happen, it was just like, well, it just can't not happen. That's the DNA of the Grammys. Themselves.
Well, speaking of that, let's go to record of the year, which was Lizzo, About Damn Time.
Okay. So not album of the year? What the fuck?
Not album. Record of the year.
It's same as like a screenplay award. They just, they just. It's that bitch o'clock.
Yeah, it's thick 30. I've been through a lot, but I'm still 30. Oh. Is everybody back up in the building? It's been a minute. Tell me how you're feeling. Because I'm about to get into my feelings.
There you go. And she took it. I mean, they have plenty of categories so that every big seller can win something.
Are you guys not hung up on album versus
whatever? That's what I'm saying.
It's record is, it's like, they should really change the name for it.
It means single.
It means single, but it has to do with like, the mastering of it, like the production of it, as well as the song and the performance. It's like, it gets kind of into the weeds. Okay. Like song and record and album are different things for like
industry. I thought
she
was going to say, I've been through a lot, but I'm still flirty.
Yeah. What'd she say? 30?
I was going to say sturdy.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I'm still sturdy. Yeah. I sang sturdy and was wrong.
Hey.
I like sturdy, but I also like your flirty. It surprised me.
You should have heckled her while she was accepting.
Yeah, next time I'm there, I will.
Yeah, I think she took record. You know, they all got to go home with something.
Yeah. And Beyonce broke the record of all-time Grammys.
Pretty cool. So 33, she's right?
Got, the most of anyone. And I was surprised that the previous record holder was just like a random like piano player, right?
It was.
Yeah. That sounds.
How'd they win so many just for playing piano?
That's a good question. Probably just like cleaned up on like jazz and classical albums and, you know, other categories we're not used to.
Interesting. They've never mentioned his name before, whoever it is.
I think it was George something. But all right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Best new artist, Samara Joy.
Hmm. Oh, this was a... Getting home. Nobody knows this one, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Did you miss your train? She was up against Wet Leg. I mean, they could have given it to somebody fun.
Wet Leg, no, Molly Turtle, Molly Tuttle.
Molly Tuttle.
Yeah, there's Lotto.
Yeah, this was a late show. I mean, this thing was 3 hours long. This thing came at like 2:45. They squeezed this in right before the end. She did not have a big impact, but she was up against like 12 other people, and they threw it to her.
That's a pretty big category. You know, the new artist category is pretty big. Like, that's one of the ones that I feel like people have talked about in the past. Didn't Amy Mann's group win that like in the 80s? I think that like put them on the map.
Till Tuesday? Could be.
Till Tuesday, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like if it's somebody that people have heard of, it gets a big pop. But like that sounded like a jazz album, you know, you hear while you're waiting for dinner, you know, waiting for your table.
Yeah, it's a weird choice.
Background stuff.
I never heard of them.
Yeah, so one girl named Samara.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. Maybe I'm wrong. I watched American Idol a little bit a couple years ago, and wasn't there Samara who won?
Staying hip.
I know. That's how I stay with the youth.
What were you saying about that, though? There was someone named Samara on
that
there?
That one, I thought.
Oh, okay. Maybe she.
No,
yeah, she's
I'm
went,
wrong.
Came from
I'm
Idol.
Sorry.
No.
Their name is just Sam. Sorry.
That's two of the same letters.
That's very similar. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Best rap album, Kendrick Lamar.
Ooh.
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers is the album name. This song is Count Me Out. Yes.
That way. I felt decent.
2 o'clock in the morning.
One of these lives, I'ma make things right with the wrongs I done. That's when I unite with the Father, Son, till then I fight. Rain on me, put the blame on me. Got guilt, got hurt, got shame on me. Got 6 magazines that's aimed at me. Done every magazine, was fame to me. It's a game to me,
man.
With the bedroom at. Sleep, I ain't never had a fast with that. What's fair when the hearts and the words don't reach? What's fair when the money don't take things back? It's rare when somebody take your dreams back. I care too much, wanna share too much.
What do you think about this? Pride.
I mean, obviously, if he put out an album, it's probably the best one. I mean,
yeah.
But it really was a hip hop heavy night. They actually did a medley celebrating 50 years of hip hop, and they just started bringing out personal. It was the most fun thing I've ever seen on the Grammys.
Oh,
they
wow.
started like with Grandmaster Flash, then they had LL Cool J, then they had Run DMC, then they had Public Enemy, and it just kept on going.
Man.
And it
I
was.
Gotta see that.
Super fun and joy. Even Jay-Z was having a blast. He couldn't believe how many people were up there. And it was just like, that's something worth going back and seeing on YouTube. It was a really joyous kind of event. So
yeah,
I'll check that out.
That doesn't usually happen at the Grammys, that it's like genuine joy. You know, sometimes they just have a group that you happen to like, but
yeah.
It was a good moment.
Yeah.
The other runners up, Pusha T, DJ Khaled, Future, and Jack Harlow.
Right on. Can I say one of the best things about having Public Enemy out there? Public Enemy was famous for a line they had back in the late 80s, which was, who gives a fuck about a goddamn Grammy?
Yeah.
So to see them pop out at the Grammys, it was a big event.
A
big fun event. So
this might be a good time to play what I saw, the performance of God Did. Which we've joked about with DJ Khaled and that phrase,
yeah.
But and Jay-Z is amazing in it, and there's all the, you know, John Legend is in it. At the very end of it, what DJ Khaled says just cracked me up.
Let me give a little more background. So at the very end of this 3-hour event, they go outside in front of Crypto.com Arena, and they have the streets blocked off, and they have this huge kind of the Last Supper table set up,
yeah.
And there's all these different rappers at the table, and it wound up being a really long performance, because Jay-Z's just sitting there, and you think that he's just going to do a couple bars, and he winds up rapping for like 6-7 minutes straight. So it was just this kind of thing of like, wow, like they actually did this, and look how much time they gave Jay and all that. But then the clown comes out at the end. Yeah.
It's just an amazing way to cap off a self-explanatory great moment.
Yes.
Here's the audio.
DJ Khaled.
Breaks my heart. They ain't believe in us. God did. So we did an 8-minute song on the Grammys. Salute to the Academy.
It breaks
Makes
my
sense,
heart.
Right? God believed in us, so we did an 8-minute song.
Yeah, nobody believed in Jay-Z, John Legend. Nobody believed in us. So we had to do an 8-minute song.
Who was saying that?
There,
nobody believed
Lil Wayne.
Who's
DJ
voice
was Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just great because he didn't even let Twitter respond like, oh my God, they just did an 8-minute song on the Grammys. Like
right.
he jumps right on, make sure you know what to tweet.
Exactly. That's what cracked me up about it.
Yeah.
It's like at the end of a Super Bowl performance, Bruce Springsteen or someone like, everyone, I just did a Super Bowl performance because
right.
I've had a 40-year career.
Exactly.
It's been amazing.
Right.
And so I did this.
Right. I was a skinny kid walking around central New Jersey. Nobody believed in me. God did. Right. Exciting stuff. Is there still more?
Yeah, so I'll do coming up at number one. We already
number one
talked about it, but... album of the year, Harry Styles, Harry's house. This is As It Was. Did you hear about what happened, the mishap for his performance?
No.
It's interesting. So did you see how they were on like a spinning cylinder thing?
Yeah.
They did all this choreography on the spinning disc. So they're like spinning around and they have to dance against the spin okay. and all this stuff. Apparently they had this huge, plan and choreography. And then the disc started spinning the opposite way.
Whoa.
That they had ever rehearsed it.
Oh, man.
So they had to, on the spot, reverse like their entire routine and go the opposite direction and lean the opposite. It's just like a total mess. And
did
it
look like
well.
A mess or no?
Well, I think they got criticized a little bit for like a lackluster performance, even though I thought it was fine, but they got criticized. But then they said like, this is what happened. Like we had a much better thing in mind and then we had to just improvise.
Wow.
I know, a lot of people go through that, going to the bathroom down at the equator. Everything spins the other way, so it can be disorienting. That's wild. I didn't notice. Yeah.
Did you listen to the whole Harry album?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that great, personally.
Did you skip any songs? Because I feel like there's two that are fine, right? Two that are good.
Watermelon Sugar. I don't listen.
Well, that was on the last one, I think.
Oh, I guess I didn't hear it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watermelon Sugar, is like the new
Robin Thicke.
I guess the thing you say when you are mouthing lyrics in a choir that you don't want to really be singing in.
Right. Like moment like marmalade.
Yeah. But he's cool. Like I like Harry Styles, but I guess my hot take was I know everyone's like mad that Beyonce didn't win. And she's certainly like an artist who deserves to win all the things. But I don't think her album was all that either.
Renaissance.
Like, from what I heard. That's another album I thought had good singles, but wasn't.
She just has a loud fan base. So you're going to hear it when she doesn't win. There was no miscarriage of justice. This right. is just a stupid TV
it's,
show.
It's pretty like
none
entitled.
Of this means anything. She sold a lot of records and she's still the queen. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing okay.
She ran.
Yeah, but people who criticize it are always pointing out things, which I kind of get, but it's just like, a black woman hasn't won in 20 years and Beyonce has been snubbed. Yeah, and has been snubbed.
But she just has all the most Grammys. I mean, how can you say she doesn't win enough?
She's got the most Grammys, but she hasn't won in like the biggest categories, I guess.
Oh, okay. So then you're kind of like,
so then I can see why that would be irritating in the sense that it's like, why aren't you giving it to a black woman? Like, why are all the other ones just ways to get around it? I think when you're a black person, you're used to dealing with so many microaggressions that something like that would be like, why aren't you giving me the main one?
Yeah.
Right.
But then it's kind of funny because then every year we're also thinking about who just actually had the best album versus who just sort of deserves an award.
Right. Yeah.
Who did have the best album?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I'm sure it wasn't one of those five. You know?
Yeah. Somebody we don't even know about probably.
Let me look who the... Yeah, there was Drake and Beyonce, Kendrick Lamar, ABBA. It's like, come on.
That was a dream. That was somebody's pipe dream that happened.
Brandi Carlile, you know, she's good, but Adele.
Those are all the nominees and the sellers. I mean, I mean, as time goes by, that's when you find the best albums from any year. It might be Kendrick put out a great one. It might be some of the others are great, but I think it's real hard to crown that, like, in February, the couple months.
Well, I mean, like, ended. Nobody's expecting the Grammys to be like, oh, you got to check out this album I found, you know, deep in Spotify that's actually the best.
Right.
We're always going to just be talking about the pop albums, but.
I know. It's also just like, weird. You know, in anything, there's so many different tastes. Sometimes when people like say shit like, well, you're not funny, like some usually old dude on Facebook. It's like, well, I didn't write it for you. Like, it's just not for you.
Right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
But just like I probably don't like Bruce Springsteen, like you like him, you don't have to like me. You just don't get that. because you're used to everything in the world being for you? Or why don't you understand that?
Yeah, it's like Teletubbies. They made it for kids.
Exactly.
Don't like it. Same thing all the way up till you're 90. It's like, if you liked it, the kids wouldn't like it.
So. Yeah.
Some of that also, that reminds me of like even Star Wars and stuff. Like when people are like complaining about Jar Jar Binks or whatever. It's like, who did you think the Ewoks were for? Like, you think that they're for like 35-year-old dudes? They're for kids, you know?
It's thought they were for the furries, just to keep the furries involved.
True.
Well, that was a fun chart. And we'll be right back with the movies.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guests Beth Stelling and
Brett Morris.
And this is The Movie Chart.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
Movies. All right. Let's see what's bringing them back into the box office.
Is everybody not as delighted as I am by this stuff?
Oh, no. Thank you so much for being delighted by it. Some people have no response whatsoever. And then it's like I'm just used to pushing through it because I've heard it so many times.
But, I would say more often than not, people chuckle throughout the theme song.
Okay. But then,
you giving know. People. Giving guests.
Giving
so
guests.
So good. Yes. I love all of them.
Thank you very much. All right. From Box Office Mojo, this is the latest dailies, the top five. So coming in at number five, A Man Called Otto.
Oh.
Angry Hanks.
Okay. Bye.
Are you always this unfriendly?
I am not unfriendly.
Okay, you're not. Every word you say is like a warm cuddle.
Do you guys know anything about this movie?
I do.
I'm slightly surprised that this premise is just being done again, unless there's a different twist on the
movie. What is the premise?
The premise is he's an angry white guy who, like, he yells at people. He's got a short temper. But then a family moves in. I think the type of family that he might be hateful towards. But they all get involved and he becomes a softer gentleman.
Okay, so it is exactly the premise that's been done a million times.
But I think that it serves in our culture now to say, hey, cis white male over the age of 60, you only got so much time left. The universe is phasing you out. So get your lessons in while you still have time.
Yeah.
It is like odd propaganda.
Yeah, it's like, here's how you should act, not the way you
are. Maybe that's good.
I guess it's odd to me because I'm like, I don't need to learn that lesson. But if I was trying to get spoon-fed something, I guess that was the way to do it.
Yeah, if your grandpa was trying to learn it or something.
I guess maybe that's a good point. Like every generation needs one of these movies, like Gran Torino and Grumpy Old Men and all those.
Yeah, Wild Hogs.
Every time, like the old guys just need a little refresher, like, hey, stop being so cranky.
Yeah, Lolita.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I never saw that.
It's about coming an old guy. That's all you gotta know. Yeah.
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you died already?
No, Puss in Boots doesn't need a spotter. Watch. Watch. A cat always lands on his feet. Watch.
You are down to your last life.
Getting a lot of cat jokes in there.
I need to watch that. Where is it? Disney Plus?
Theaters only, I think. Or can you watch that without theaters?
I don't know. Find out.
Hey, do you know these visits to the theaters are getting stranger and stranger? Did you hear about AMC's new pricing plan?
No.
Yeah. Why would they do that? Yep. It's so stupid. People are already not going.
What they're doing is three different price sections. Like if you got a really good seat, it costs more than if you're stuck up at the front or whatever.
You don't like that?
Well, I think it's just, it just makes it more complicated. I think.
Right, why would you want to be paying any more than anyone else?
Well, no, the only reason I might be open to that is if I could maybe be paying less than before. But if you're just talking about price increases, then.
Oh, like they cut you a break for sitting right up at the screen. I don't know.
You don't want to sit that close to the screen.
I hate sitting that close. No.
I like the old way where it's like, if you don't rush to get a ticket, you're like, I'm going to be up against the screen. So then you go, well, I don't want to sit against the screen. So I'll just go to the next showing.
I'm with you. I just needed a second to process it. I like the old way. Just everyone just like try to get a ticket.
Right.
Like fuck off with all the complications.
Yeah. Right. I did a little punch up on Puss in Boots too.
Oh, you did? Hey, congrats. That's good. You got any points on the back end?
No, my name won't be anywhere on that thing.
Oh no.
That's cool.
Punch up is a what would you call it?
Great job.
What am I trying to say?
Invisible. Like,
definitely a great job. But yeah, incognito.
Like anonymous, yeah.
You're like a ghostwriter.
Have you done that with other movies?
Yeah.
That's great.
A good amount of them.
I was feeling
really?
Like
that's coming in steady?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a very fun
job. I mean, that's exciting. Job.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one of my favorite jobs on the planet to punch up.
It's very like, it's nice sometimes to take someone else's thing and then just make it better rather than think up your whole
thing. To start from scratch.
Yeah, and I'm never bitter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm never like, why isn't my name anywhere? It's like, I don't even know if any of my stuff got in. That's why I like to watch them.
Oh, okay, to find out.
Yeah. And even still, to be honest with you, I think early days I would have remembered, but now I don't remember. Like, you know what I'm saying? You want to keep track of your jokes, and sometimes you're like, did I do that one? Because you want to be proud. But then as you're sitting there, you're like, hopefully something
is there. Did you ever been responsible for like a big joke that you saw in the trailer or something?
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah. Which one?
My joke was the worldwide trailer of Good Boys. Remember that movie, the summer hit? It was like Seth Rogen produced it. The two writers from The Office, Gene and Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky. But it was about those three little boys who rode their bikes. It was like, the trailer joke of mine was, he goes, she's a total nympho. And then the other little boy goes, what's that mean? And he says, she has sex on land and on sea.
That's great. That's a Stelling. Boom.
That's a Stelling.
They should put your name right as the joke is said. They should just give
your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Chiron. Yeah. That's Stelling.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it was a little interesting, though, having like being the only gal and seeing some of those boys not wanting to hear from me. Do you know what I mean? Like they would always go to the men writers for jokes. And I was like, meanwhile, I'm like, you don't even, and again, I don't blame them. They're kids. We live in a patriarchal society. It wasn't like I was ever upset with them, but it was interesting to see them not come to me or think that I was doing anything funny.
Right.
Yeah.
What were they coming to you for, like female characters or were they just ignoring you?
The boys, they were just children, you know, but I think they expected like all the big jokes to come from the dudes.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I would, and you know, it's also your job typically when you're the on-set writer, you're not the director, so you're not yelling stuff out. So it's not like they saw me being like, you know, but we would be standing there and I would be saying those things and then they'd go try this or whatever.
Well, that,
and it's not like, I hope it doesn't come off wrong. It was just a little interesting thing to observe.
Yeah, no, it shows you the culture. Like the kids get groomed in that direction. And that's
It was just a little interesting.
70 years from now, they'll need their own My Name is Otto.
It is true. It's like, I don't know how you're supposed to crack that for like young boys. Like teenage boys are just going to be like a little bit toxic in that way or whatever. Like you just can't.
I eventually razzed him a little. I was a little like, I'm the reason you're called the Beanbag Boys. It was my idea. You know what I mean? I started being like, I started saying a few things here and
there.
Don't
you know who I am?
Yeah. But, you know, you can't be the adult that's like, why do these 12-year-olds?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, your punch-up work might start drying up if you're like mean to the little kids.
I grab one by the scruff of their neck. You listen to me. I wrote that joke.
Right on. Well, congrats on that. That's huge.
Oh, that's... Thank you. I hope it doesn't come off like I was...
No, not at all.
...bragging. I just... You know.
All right. Dropping down to number three.
Number three.
Aquatar.
The spray of water.
The spray of water.
I was like, wait a minute.
This was number one for weeks, so dropped down two spots, I feel like.
Water is the star. A lot of people said the first one sucked. No one's going to see this new one. But water is the point of difference. And shout out.
Does the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Water in this. Did you guys watch it?
I haven't seen it. I don't even know anyone who's seen it.
I
pressed play on it on my iPad when I was in Denver doing shows. Like I was just there for the weekend.
Waterworks?
You know how it is.
Holy shit, Beth. That's huge. That's tie-in. Sorry.
But I was just like, you know, when you're alone on the road, I was like, oh, I'll try it. I pressed play and, you know, I don't know. It's very, I don't, smaltzy is the word that's coming to mind, but it's just very heavy handed.
It's just big blockbuster.
Yeah.
Especially seeing the theaters.
Yeah, so
I
don't know.
I think on an iPad, it probably loses some of that.
Yeah, it was like, okay, see what's going on here, but I'm going to take a nap.
Yep. Yeah.
The altitude's
getting... It's distancing. It can be distancing all that CGI and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Now, Howard, based on off of your amoeba tweets,
yeah,
you were saying something that like a Navi
yeah, the
couldn't
Navi.
Even reach the records. Were they too tall?
It's like
too high for you?
No, the thing is, amoeba is crazy, ridiculously crowded. It's like a maze. Yeah. It's headache-inducing. But then there's just all this free space, like airplane hangar free space above. So sure. It's like at the old one, they at least had a second level to try to get some of the free up some floor space. But I don't like going up the stairs either. So I don't know what the solution is. But basically, I was just saying that the Navi, because the Navi from Avatar are like 9-10 feet tall, that they could browse in there. I'm just trying to imagine why you would leave. I don't know. The place is just...
You're saying they should take advantage of the vertical space.
Yeah, it's like when you go out to the Midwest and there's traffic. You're like, why didn't you just build a 7-lane highway? Like, what are you doing? Use the space,
right.
That type of a thing.
Yeah.
But, hey.
It is like, crowded. It feels like getting into a club. I'm sure that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
Make it seem busy.
Yeah. But they sell old stuff. They sell new stuff. That's not a normal thing at a usual
store.
It's
easy to spend so much money.
I want to buy this brand new thing and then this thing that's 79, you know?
What was your haul? What did you get? What did you pick up? CDs?
Oh, just
DVDs?
Beatles Blu-ray. Beatles on Blu-ray.
Really? Yeah. Get Back?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, so you
sound like you don't want
to
talk about
it.
It's just these stories go on another podcast, so it's like I gotta be like, like because it's just fit so much better on the other show. But
what's the other one?
Griff Torse with Megan Beth Keister, where we just like talk about ways to make money without working. And this was part of that. It was a scam for that show. So,
do you ever have anything on that podcast where you go, hey, I'm not talking about this because this is who charted material?
Lots of times, because her and I argue all the time about music, and she hates Rick Rubin, and I think he's done a lot of great things. And so we'll get into it, but then I'll be like, oh, I should just save that for the other ones. But
okay. As long as it's equal. Yeah. All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two,
Knock at the Cabin.
Oh, yeah. Horror.
No clue.
Oh, is this M. Night again? Yeah.
This just came out on Friday. Yeah.
Hi there.
I know I'm going to fucking end up seeing this and I'm going to be mad. every time.
Let me tell Beth what this one's about. You need to come inside right now. There were four of them. Beth.
What do we say?
These people come into your house and they tie you and your family up and they say, in order to save the universe, one of you is going to die. One of you is going to die and you got to pick. That's a, I mean, is that a fun night out? Getting out of the house? Let me go watch that.
That's also like.
That actually has happened to people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like my favorite murder where they make you choose or something.
Yeah. My friend Aaron had such a weird brush with that in the Chicago area growing up. It was like her senses kicked in and she knew not to let this person in. And they murdered a family close by.
Jesus.
Wow.
Like that. Isn't that wild?
That same day type of a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
It was like she had a brush with
right
whatever you want to call it, a murderer, serial killer. And everything kicked in to be like, don't let this person in. Like,
good.
Listen to her body.
Trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd also just feel so weird and guilty and stuff. Oh, yeah,
because
after,
a family in the community is dead.
Yeah. Ugh, that's insane.
We don't even really talk about it much. That's why I'm being so vague, because it's like I have the faint memory of her telling me about it originally. It's like one of my best friends also survived a school shooting, like one of the big ones. And it's like you remember it, but you're never going to like when they tell you that you're not like, OK, like, let me know all the details. And then you don't want to ever bring it up again.
Right.
So you just feel try like to remember what they told you
about it today. I don't want to bring it up.
Exactly. Anyway.
Wow.
Oof.
But
you are a magnet for those who've been through heaviness.
I'm a gentle hug.
Aw. You're a red hand in a window. Mm-hmm. High five.
I also feel like this, that's just kind of like a hacky premise, like Sophie's Choice thing.
Yeah. It's,
who's going to die in your family type thing?
Well, and also like that feels like philosophy 101 or something like.
Yeah, like I've cards just heard that with, kind of question. Cards for Humanity type of a deal.
Right. Or isn't there like the train car question or whatever? Like, do you save one person? I don't know.
Yeah, like a superhero.
Or you kill a group of people. Or,
right. Yeah. Like if Superman gives away his identity, he won't be able to save anybody. But should he give it away to save these, you know, people?
Right. Yeah.
It's a Marvel
but
deal.
Knowing M. Night Shyamalan movies, by the end, all that goes out the window anyway, and it's something way dumber than you even imagine.
Yeah, worse know? Than the reason you went to see it.
Right. All right.
Was that any number interest? One?
This is number two.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, that's number two. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Do I have it? 80 for Brady.
For the 80 for Brady starting lineup.
What is this?
This is a super group cast. Jane Fonda, Sally Field, couple others.
Okay.
Birmingham High School, Jane Fonda, college dropout.
The 80 for Brady trailer starts.
Is this like Otto for the ladies?
A man called Otto for women.
Yeah.
Right.
For the older white ladies.
Now, what is their goal? Do you guys know? I only know it's something to do with Tom Brady. Are
They're trying to get laid.
A game or something?
Oh, I see.
Okay.
80 for Brady isn't. Want me to say?
Yeah.
80 for Brady is inspired by the true story of four best friends living life to the fullest when they take a wild trip to the 2017 Super Bowl to see their hero Tom Brady play.
Nothing's more relevant than the 2017 Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's like when my mom went to the Women's March in D.C., but then all she could talk about was like going to the museums and like hanging out with her friends.
Oh, yeah, got some shopping.
Like, mom, you're supposed to be like... I don't know. Like
well, we did, but we also went to Cheesecake Factory.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know what? I just watched the Grammys, and they let that old lady present the winning Grammy to Harry Styles. So I feel like I already saw this in real life.
Okay, so you're saying she was like she was a fan? I couldn't figure out if she was like his
I know
mom
that was all
or,
really weird. They brought
all the fans on stage, and then they actually let her open up the envelope. And then she was like, oh my God, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
She seemed like overcome. And then he hugged her like she was a family member. Yeah.
I mean, she's like a woman that's like, you know, 80, but is like crazy huge Harry Styles fan.
Okay, so that was interesting. Now I understand better. I thought he was just having the white person read it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Interesting.
If he was going to pander, I mean, I would have thought he would bring up somebody with, you know, of his, you know, supposed demo, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But exciting stuff. Wow. What a movie chart. People are heading back to the theaters. They'll be paying separate prices for different tiers. And we'll be right back with the hot picks. The only reason I knew it was the Grammys is because every time I try to listen to the Lakers or the Clippers, they kept on saying that the teams are out of town for a Grammy road trip. So then I put together that they must have to all go out of town every year because they do the Grammys at the Staples Center.
Oh.
So like, that's why I just kept on hearing Grammys, Grammys. I believe that they wrote that song at Chateau Marmont because the Body Shop is across the street. But that hasn't come out yet, but that's my belief.
Nice. Let's just be back on air with that. Because I like that theory. Was the other thing we didn't talk about, too, was maybe the best thing about the Grammys was the fact that Ted Cruz and all them went crazy about that performance.
Oh, like, gosh. Yeah. That was pretty funny. All the Republicans tweeting, they're worshiping hell.
I love seeing like some of the tweets behind, you know, just randoms, and they're going, and they say we're crazy, like, because we're saying this, like, really, you know, like, it's right there. They're worshiping Satan right there, and we're the crazy ones. Right.
But also, it's like the reason that they were so convinced they're worshiping Satan is because Sam Smith put on a dumb top hat that had horns on it. And it's just like the silliest way to piss people off. Like, you say I'm worshiping the devil, and then you put on like a dumb thing, and they get even more mad. See, he is doing it.
There's something that feels like almost like deeply comforting to me to be back in a satanic panic.
Yeah. Right.
Like there's Tipper just something very quaint about it. Like, oh, good. Like, music is dangerous again to these people.
Yeah.
And like,
and then the name
so
of the song is Unholy. It's like, it's so designed to
yeah.
It's like,
it's funny.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's play the Hot Picks theme.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks.
God bless Beth Stelling. Thank you for your love and support, Beth.
Oh, I'm such a big fan.
Oh, feels good. Real good. Hey, we got some hot picks here. Let's see if we did better than the Grammys. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little more hip, hopefully.
All right. Coming in, we'll start here. Coming in number five. This is Beth's
number
first.
Number five.
Beth's first pick. This is Anne Marie and H. We're not sure.
We're not sure.
Psycho.
H.
Password right, huh? Oh no, and the girl that said you ain't your type is sending messages they never end. That's a whole lot of messages for just a friend. Oh no, had a feeling I knew what I find. You met up with Veronica late last night. You had a bit of Elena on the side.
It's a bit of a Howard Kramer piano line there.
Yeah, yeah.
Playable with one finger.
God, I was going to say. Like a person who can't create a melody that lasts longer than 3 seconds.
I'm a psychopath.
I like it. This sounds like an answer record to the Shaggy, you know, a little bit of Monica.
Yeah. Lou Vega.
That's exactly
what I was going to say. And you said
right
it.
On.
It feels like answer to that song, Lou Vega's.
Yeah.
A little bit like, of Monica in my life.
I like the way she puts it.
A little bit of H in my life.
Yeah. But she said, what was it? That's a lot of text for someone who's
Yeah. I love it when he's like, she's like, with Bianca, are you dumb? And then it says Alexandra and her mom. It's so funny to me. Women are funny.
Yeah. Women are funny.
That was funny. What's funny to me is I was watching, like on cable, there was the MTV Classic channel, mm-hmm. which I discovered, and it was just playing like 90s music videos. And it was so deeply like great to me just to see nonstop video blocks again.
Yeah.
And to remind myself of all those great songs. And like every single thing seemed great from across like every genre. I was just like, everything is holding up so well. And I now love this. And I'm like, even then the Lou Bega came on and I was like, I remember just despising this so much. And now it sounds like kind of a good thing.
It's
like
quaint and hitting.
Or like, yeah. And it's like, doesn't seem like that. It seems quaint and like almost like old fashioned and like well done. And there's like a, I don't know, there's like interesting parts on it. And I'm like, is this just pure nostalgia brain or is it something else? You know, like we didn't know how good we had it. Depravity. Yeah.
Pure depravity.
It brings you back. I think even the shitty stuff from an old time period becomes, beloved just because it's so associated with the nostalgia of the time. Yeah.
And also, I guess I'm not hearing the below the fold stuff from back then that, you know. It's like I'm hearing a good cross section, but it is remarkable. Like it just becomes another decade, like the 80s or 70s, where when you hear all the hits, you're like, oh my God, like all the music was so good back then.
Oh yeah. What a decade.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Howard's first pick. This is Maude's Son with Courtney Fucked Kurt. Is this the one you said to start from the beginning, or should I fast forward?
No, that's the other one, but okay. Yeah, you could probably jump. I don't know about this one. Sorry.
Courtney fucked Kurt, Sid killed Nancy.
Wow. I don't usually pick the hard driving ones like that, but it was good. He's basically saying to kids, like, stop romanticizing death and drug addiction.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. So it's kind of cool. The rest of the album was just super poppy, and then all of a sudden this thing came out. It was hard hitting. So
I didn't pick up on that
But
message.
That's Maude's Son. He used to go out with, what's her name? The girl who made $1 million on OnlyFans. You know who I'm talking about?
I do.
Avril Lavigne. That's what I'm seeing on Google.
No, but he was with her. It was an actress. With her now. Yeah, her name's
Bella?
Bella Abzug.
No.
Bella Thorne.
Bella Thorne. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Good job pretending you didn't know that. Like,
me?
I couldn't think of her name.
No, I'm joking.
I know. I couldn't think of it either, but I knew people were mad at her.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is my only pick. And this will just, no one's going to like this because it's death metal, but I love it. This is by, and you have to understand also, this is like very tongue in cheek. Like there's a sense of humor to this.
Probably. But
like the band is unpronounceable. It's like Sanguisugubog. Sanguisugubog.
Where are they from? Portugal?
No. They are from... Where are they from? I don't know. I can't find
it. That's the name of their country. We'll just think. We'll just say that.
No, it's probably not. It's like a... No, they're from Columbus, Ohio.
Ooh.
Oh, geez. Beth, do you know this group?
Probably.
You have to understand, it's like a practice. It's almost like a humorous thing to just try to make your death metal band as illegible and undecipherable as you can.
Okay.
And the logo...
All right, that's...
The logos are completely illegible. Like they're just chaos, you know, that's the band logo. And it's a very...
Like a secret club with no sign.
It's a very old school sound with a very funny drum sound. But this one is called Black Market Vasectomy. I want to get to this drum fill.
Boom.
Listen to this.
Wow.
that made me laugh.
My gosh. Is he saying something about taquitos? That's all I can make out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about taquitos, how much he loves them. Another...
That's hard stuff.
It's a good album. Another... my friend called it Butt Death. It's like... Harkens back to old school death metal.
What did he call it?
Butt Death. Almost like butt rock.
Oh, okay. Butt like, death metal. Got
but another song is called Testicular Rot. Another
that
song
scares me.
It's all very like tongue in cheek, but it's less scary than Unholy. You guys
to America, I guess. Yeah, no one's complaining about it.
Yeah. All right, coming in number two. This is Beth's pick, and I believe Beth's friend Monica Martin, with James Blake, Go Easy Kid.
Singing that straight to you, Beth. That is
right. Beautiful.
I mean, she's got a beautiful voice.
Listen to that.
Identify with the sentiment.
Go easy, kid. It's only rock and roll.
Can I jump in on that remix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got a nice voice, Beth. Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, yeah, it sounds like it's right up there with Adele as far as the nakedness of the voice, just over a little piano, but very much delivering.
Yeah. I want you to listen to the whole thing later and then tell me how it made you feel.
Okay.
Well, that's going to break.
Do I have to be sober?
Down.
You don't have to, but you have to text me after you listen to the whole thing.
Okay.
He doesn't even like hearing a minor chord anywhere in music. That's going to just destroy him. He's too sensitive for that.
Listen, minor chords, what do they make you feel? I mean, come on.
Small. Minor.
Yeah, minor. Thank you. That's scared. Funny. They scare me.
I didn't realize the hook was "It's Only Rock and Roll."
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Like,
oh, that's cool.
They should mash that up with the Stones song.
Well, Stones.
Yeah. I think you did the James Blake one. Hers is like a little different, you know.
Oh, it might interesting.
Get to it. Yeah.
Hey, what's the whole album? What's the name of the album?
She's working on it right now. But she was in a band called Fox, PHOX, for a while. And if you search Monica Martin on Spotify, she does have a whole playlist you can just click on from Songs with the Violets and Fox, her own stuff. And she's hopped on with like Marcus Mumford all within the last year and a couple That's other great. People. So you can like listen to her. Oh, and she was also playing a lot with Wolfpack. They have some good ones.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I know
that. Mumford and Sons is Wisconsin too, right?
No, they're UK.
They are?
Yeah.
But didn't they make an album out in a cabin in Wisconsin?
Maybe you're right. Oh, no, that's Bon Iver.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why is... Maybe...
But
maybe Monica Wolfpack
was U of M, speaking of Ann Arbor again.
Oh, okay. That's big.
Coming in at number two?
Number two.
This is my second pick. This is Lil Yachty.
You got two picks?
I don't know. Did I do? Yeah, you got two picks.
Okay.
Am I doing a six chart?
Two picks.
we'll all get two picks. This is Lil Yachty with Say Something.
Nice.
I'm not sure this is the best song.
See, I was thinking like
music video stuff. This isn't the song I meant to do, but it's probably still good. But the new Lil Yachty album.
Even that could have beat Bonnie Raitt, because that sounds like what music sounds like right now. Right.
The new Lil Yachty album is very interesting. I'll just say that. I'm not sure I like am deeply in love with it, but it's trying new
things. It has stuff that could age well for sure.
He's like blending like almost like Pink Floyd style music over hip hop. Yeah. It's kind of psychedelic.
I got to say, this is a first on the entire program. We've never had a pot picks where you picked a hip hop song and I picked metal. And my next one coming up is metal, but this, I never expected this to ever happen. This is amazing.
It's a rarity. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Howard's, as per mentioned, metal pick. This is Korn, Lost in the Grandeur.
Right there. That's the good part.
Okay.
Hey you, what are you doing? Life as you turn.
I'm out. Now I don't like
you're
it
out.
Anymore.
Okay.
Right there.
You just like the new metal riff.
It was all for that one lick. I would sample it or something. The rest of it is when he just, that Korn just waits until they're in a depressed mood and then commits it to lyrics. they never have anything uplifting to say. But I did like the lick.
Imagine an uplifting Korn song.
I mean, they've influenced a lot of kids in the Midwest to start doing meth and stuff like that.
Really?
I mean, there's no way that you're already dealing with Iowa and then that comes on. I think it pushes you over the edge, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe it's the
irresponsible.
Aren't they from Bakersfield? You might be thinking
of from Slipknot. Bakersfield. I was thinking of Slipknot. Sorry. But they, you know, the same, those two, same, they're in the same posse.
Truly, and that's in the same boat.
Same era, I mean, same posse.
Bakersfield and Iowa could be the same.
Yeah. But wow, eclectic picks.
Yeah.
What a mix we had this week. And
I love it.
Some insider stuff coming from Beth. Thank you, Beth.
Yeah, you know a lot of music. It's great. Yeah. You got to come back more.
I will.
And you know what, gang? Beth is on the road. You can catch her.
Yeah.
She's got spring dates.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Telluride, Colorado in the middle of February. February 21st, I'm in San Diego. March 3rd, which is a Friday, I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Damn. Variety of climates. You're getting the,
exactly.
the hell of a February there.
I'll be at South by Southwest this year and then in Birmingham,
kaboom.
Alabama on March 23rd.
Wow. What's Birmingham? Is that a festival? They got a new
Avondale Brewing.
Bonnaroo going down there?
Avondale.
Muscle Shoals Fest?
It's called Avondale Brewing Company. Thursday, March 23rd.
Right,
it's with Wes Van Horn and Kristen Rand. They're comics that move there.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. How do they like it down there? Is that a good place to do it?
Yeah. Well, Wes grew up there. Kristen, okay. I met in Denver years ago. That's where she started.
Right.
But they're married and have
Well, you know,
kids.
I started in Austin. When I got down there, it was like nobody was really talking about it. Now it's like changed more than any
gosh,
other American city in the last 20 years. And I was thinking, where could you go now that would be comparable to that? And it sounds like Birmingham. Like, that's the kind of place you would pick now, like before it becomes this thing.
Yeah.
Cool place to do stand-up.
Yeah, I'll tell you how it
all
goes.
Right, well, shout out to that. Go see Beth and all those different places, you guys. Also, check out Comedy Bang Bang World with Start.
Yes, please. Tons of new stuff. Dan Lippert has a new show we're doing called Walton on Walton, where he's doing Bill Walton.
Oh, I love that.
Like the after show to Bill Walton's new Throw It Down telecast.
Oh, wow.
Really,
that's
really
huge.
Funny.
I'm a huge Bill Walton fan.
Yeah,
that's
me
great.
Too. And he's getting crazier and crazier. So
crazier.
It's,
watch him call the Pac-10 12 games or whatever.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. Also, check out whochartedpod.com where you can get all the back episodes and all the preem streams.
That's right.
Check out Griff Torres with Megan Beth Keister and Drop Date Duel. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.